Welcome to episode 196 of the GT on 5G. It's the latest Insight Scoop on everything 5G. We cover six topics in about 20 minutes, and it's brought to you by More Insights and Strategy. I'm Will Townsend, and joining me again this week is fellow analyst Anshul Sag. But hey, Anshul, before we get started, I know you and I have been on the road for quite a bit, and you went to a Padres game to rest and relax. How did that go? How are the Padres doing this year?
They are doing okay. They're not doing great. They should be doing way better. But last night they hit their third walk-off homer in three home games in a row. So
nice.
They've never done that before. And if they do it tonight against the Brewers again, it will have been the first time in Big Bowl history. So it's unlikely to happen. Hey. But if it does, it will be an interesting record. I did drive home from LA yesterday. I was in Long Beach for good old Augmented World Expo conference, which I will briefly talk about later in the podcast. I don't have it as an official topic, but there are some 5G things that I wanted to mention.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, I've been in an Astros game this year. My daughters are coming in July after the 4th, and we're going to go do a Round Rock Express game. That's always fun at the Dell Diamonds. Going to get my little bit of my baseball fix there. But hey, man, let's jump into it. I want to lead with my first topic. And I've heard the rumors for quite a while that there's a big change with Microsoft with respect to how they're approaching telecom. And basically, they've, in essence, pulled the 5G ripcord on Azure for operators. And I remember I wrote an article about this on Forbes. It was like 4 years ago after Microsoft acquired Affirmed and Metaswitch. The combination of those two acquisitions, well over $1 billion, but 4 years later, Microsoft's decided to get out of the virtual service application space and just focus on infrastructure, similar to what AWS is doing with telco. But this marks a pretty big change for the company. And again, it demonstrates Microsoft, they make these mega mergers. Remember when they acquired Nokia and they thought they were going to do handsets, and look where that went. But this is interesting, and it validates that there's a pretty strong ecosystem out there for companies that are focused on the application layer. And then certainly lately, we've heard a lot of news around API focus, and Ericsson is really leading that charge. And that's all about bringing higher degrees of programmability to the networks. And certainly T is demonstrating that with what they're doing with Nokia, with Open RAN and that sort of thing. But I don't know, from your perspective, was this a surprise for you? Because it wasn't for me.
I guess my only question is, what does it mean for someone like AT&T?
Yeah, so if you look at what AT&T is dealing with their core, it doesn't affect that. So again, the focus is really on infrastructure and moving away from applications. And that's what these acquisitions entailed. They entailed some 5G core, but it's really the application layer. So I don't really think it affects anything that AT&T is going to do. Certainly, they made the announcement that they were moving their core to Azure. But this is really focused on Azure for operators and the application layer. And I'm not surprised, because it's a pretty competitive space. And in many regards, what Microsoft was trying to do was competitive with the ecosystem. So it's probably long-term a better strategy for them. But my goodness, man, the $1 billion-plus they spent on those acquisitions, there's probably going to be a fire sale of those assets, and they'll recover some of that money. But yeah, it's an interesting sort of change of direction there. But hey, let's go to your first topic. You want to talk about Orange and what they're doing to support the Olympics with a private 5G network.
Yes. So Orange is the largest carrier in France. When I'm in France, and basically they are standing up a private 5G network so that different broadcasters and device OEMs will be able to do these new use cases for 5G. So, for example, Samsung will be deploying 200 Galaxy S24 Ultra smartphones on 85 vessels to be able to show the different perspectives of different athletes and be able to cut in and out of different boats that are going down the River Seine. They will also use those smartphones to capture HDR footage of the ceremony, which will then be streamed over Orange's 5G. And that it will be a private network that's entirely separate from the commercial network. And that the contract that Orange has with the Olympic will cover 120 venues, including the athlete training ground. It's quite clear that Orange is the lead partner for a lot of this, but they're also pitching their network for broadcasters to use it while they're filming in field during the Olympics. We have yet to find out what that will look like in the end result, but it will be interesting to see how that final product will be delivered. We will only see it during the Olympics, but know that if you have a weird camera angle you've never seen, it's probably from a smartphone from Samsung that's being broadcast to the world. But yeah, it's an exciting time. I think we're going to only see more and more of these things starting to manifest themselves as we get closer to the Olympics. And yeah, it'll be exciting to see what new technologies are announced. Camera companies are running around announcing new cameras for the Olympics. And things like we're going to see more 5G technology.
I think it's a great showcase for what 5G can do. And you and I have talked about lots of other sort of sports venue related use cases on our podcast. And most recently, what T-Mobile has been doing with the Professional Golfers Association, supporting some of the tournaments there. And I'm just curious, because I didn't catch the details on this, but you mentioned Orange providing access to this private network for broadcast. Are they, and obviously what you described in the vessels and that sort of thing, really, it's a great kind of promotion for what Orange, what their capabilities are, but are they monetizing access for broadcasters to use the network?
Or it seems like it's more that they are enabling athletes, para-athletes with free service and devices from Samsung. So I think it's going to be much more like user-generated content as opposed to broadcasters. But I have a feeling broadcasters are also being offered some private packages. But I don't think we have any visibility into what those look like and what they cost. But I have a feeling that there are some broadcasters that are interested in taking advantage of this network because
it's
a foreign country and they're not necessarily equipped to work in those networks.
For sure. Yeah, the whole notion of crowdsourced, journalism, that was one of the early identified use cases for 5G. So that's coming into play here when you talk about enabling the athletes to have these devices operate on the network and capture interesting, like you said, video and camera angles and that sort of thing. So that's super cool. Hey, let's go to my second topic. And I want to talk about the formation of the Global Telco AI Alliance. And it's a joint venture that's composed of Singtel, Deutsche Telekom, SK Telecom, and SoftBank. And so what the initiative is to tailor generative AI applications for mobile operators. And this is an area that I plan to write about, likely on Forbes in the coming weeks and months. But what's really interesting is that they are focused on developing multilingual large language models that are specifically focused on telco workloads. And it could be quite interesting. Initially, the applications that I've seen for generative AI within telco has been around call center support and that sort of thing. This is pretty new stuff, and so it's too early to estimate what's going to flow out of it, but I think it's great. They're pulling together mobile operators that are leaders with respect to use case, especially SK Telecom in South Korea. We've talked a lot about how innovative they've been in focusing on use cases with 5G for both business and but a lot of consumer. But I think this is great. And I think we're going to start to see more alliances. Obviously, this is very focused on with Singtel in Singapore and Deutsche Telekom and others in the European part of the world. But I would expect that we're going to see other collaborations come together within North America and other parts of the world. But don't know if you caught this news and if you have any thoughts before we go to your second topic.
I think this is going to be a long-term thing, like you said. I also think it's going to enable operators to maybe work together to coalesce around models and coalesce around certain expectations so that they can help vendors to better provide services and equipment that match their needs. Obviously, all operators are going to be the same, but maybe they can hone in a little better and maybe offer telco-specific offerings for Gen AI. that they can actually address multiple customers with, because I think one of the challenges is if you try to specialize across verticals too much, then it becomes too much of a challenge. But if telco operators and other vendors in the space coalesce around specific needs, then that I think it can better address. So I think that's the net positive of this being.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. It's going to be focused on outcome. And the other challenge, and I'm just reading in between the lines here, but one of the other really big challenges I see with applying generative AI and LLMs to telco workloads is around security. When you think about the number of devices that are going to be involved, it's a massive attack surface. And there's a lot of focus right now on securing AI. I'm actually working with Intel on a paper. We're about to kick that off. But when you take it to a mobile network, it becomes infinitely more challenging. You still have the same challenges with traditional cloud scale out and that sort of thing. But it'll be interesting to see what gets focused on from a security standpoint here. But let's go to your second topic. You want to talk about T-Mobile. And I did catch this news. I didn't dig into it, so I'm looking forward to getting your take on it. But they've won a pretty large contract, the Spiral 4 contract. And this is about the 5G, private 5G support for CellGP that I think you've spoken about in New York, and also the Women's PGA Championship.
Yeah, so these are three different things. The Spiral 4 thing is actually, I looked into it. It was already announced months ago, and a bunch of different operators won contracts, including Verizon and AT&T. So this was T-Mobile kind of just confirming that they won their portion of the contract. And my understanding when I looked into it is the first year of the contract is guaranteed, and then it's 9 years of renewals. So the 10-year contract, and basically if they deliver in a satisfactory manner, they win the rest of the contract. So I have a feeling that we won't all of them continue to hold this contract over 10 years, but they've all won the contract and now it's their job to keep. So that's a part of four. It's really just about delivering connectivity to the Department of Defense specifically. I think it's Army, Navy, and a couple other branches, but it's like very much about just giving people cellular connectivity on their devices. And then the CellGP thing in New York, I looked into that. Basically, it's a private 5G network that will allow them to stream video from the catamarans themselves underneath. So you can get live video coming from the catamaran. And that's something that has already been a thing in CellGP, but this will probably be much higher quality video and it will be real time as opposed to maybe slightly delayed. And then the Women's PGA Championship is also happening, and that's going to be, I think, up in the Seattle area. And that's right in T-Mobile's backyard. I think they're based in Bellevue. And I believe this will be very similar to what they did with the PGA men's tournament and basically helping them build infrastructure, do broadcast, get rid of cables, and just enable a smoother, better experience for everyone involved. And yeah, this is T-Mobile's getting their enterprise business spinning up, because this is all enterprise and commercial and not consumer at all. And it's helping them grow as a provider of services and technology that are 5G based. And yeah, it's really cool to see that they're expanding outward and working on the media side and helping with different sports leagues and CLGP and the PGA Championship. So a really good thing, and I hope to see more of this.
Yeah. They are, you're absolutely right. Boy, just in the last, I would say, 18 months, we've seen a bevy of announcements from T-Mobile for Business, and they are really finally catching up with AT&T and Verizon from a business service perspective. And then certainly, it seems that we talk about them quite often, attached to not only the PGA Men's and Women's Championship and different tournaments, but also a number of other sporting support, venue support, like Major League Baseball and that sort of thing. So it seems to me that they're really making a name for themselves in sports. And Verizon has done that for quite some time, and especially initially with the fact that they were focused on building out their 5G millimeter wave, which is very appropriate for sports venues. But yeah, T-Mobile for Business has definitely come a long way, and it's fun to see all the focus here, especially in sports, because you and I are big sports fanatics. But let me hit my third and final topic. And I thought this was a pretty interesting use case. It was published on RCR Wireless or from Sean Kinney and his team. But this is around Telia. And in Sweden, they're using drones for 5G-enabled remote forestry machine control. And so basically, and we've talked about this before, they're able to basically bring a portable mobile base station into a very rural area. And this is in the middle of Sweden where they're, you know, engaged in forestry operations. And establishing that base station on a drone, they're able to do remote control of machinery, you know, trucks and that sort of thing. 5G has been a poster child use case for mining. And so it's a very dangerous operation in forestry. It's equally dangerous as well when you think about these massive trees that they're harvesting and loading on trucks and that sort of thing. I just thought it was a cool use case, really points to the power of 5G with respect to that ultra low latency that you need for that tactile control. Since this is a remote control operation, it's not autonomous, it's remotely controlled. And you can't have any lag time or any jitter and that sort of thing. And I'm reading between the lines on this one as well, but I would assume that there are other applications like using computer vision and that sort of thing. So just a really cool 5G use case I wanted to throw out there. Don't know if you caught it or not, but what do you think? Cool?
I did not catch it, but I agree it's cool. I think the other thing that would be cool is if they use robotic arms compared with robotic gloves to do the forestry. So you can just have a robot go and like drop it.
Yeah.
The reason why I bring that up actually is because when I was at Augmented World Expo this week, I tried out the latest gloves from Haptex, and they said that their newest application for the gloves is not training of humans with these gloves, which is their main business, but now they're using those gloves to train robots with human input. So they can train robot models, AI models, to grab things based on the input of the gloves that they were wearing. I don't have the gloves on me, but I'm acting like I do. And the pictures I post on social media and some videos I posted of me using those gloves. But yeah, AWE was really cool. And there were some 5G use cases as well. There's a company called Spiteful who has a laptop called the Spacetop, which is a laptop key deck with a pair of glasses as your display. And that comes standard with 5G connectivity because they believe that 5G is a necessary connectivity choice for making this a useful portable AR PC. So that was the one 5G connecting. Also, there was a really cool panel with the guys from DigiLens and Booz Allen talking about XR and 5G. And they went actually into the 5G standard and talked about certain things that they're using to make some of their case studies possible. So I will be writing about that on Forbes in more detail, but that's my thoughts. I weaseled my way in.
I'm glad you shared the gratuitous opportunity for you to share your experience there. And wow, those are some really practical mixed reality applications and use cases. I think we're going to see more, and the power of 5G, I think, is going to be instrumental in powering a lot of that, especially in remote scenarios. But let's hit your third and final topic. And you want to talk about Samsung and MediaTek and testing RedCap on VRAN. I did catch this news as well, but I'm looking forward to hearing your insight.
Yes. So this was a really cool one because Samsung obviously has the infrastructure side. MediaTek has the device side. They both have, they want to test these RedCap features. This was using Samsung's VRAN 3.0 software on O-RAN compliant radios and MediaTek's RedCap modem on its M60. The two features that they were testing on the VRAN network over O-RAN or Open RAN were paging early indication and extended discontinuous reception. And they're both about power saving features. So it's really about maximizing the efficiency of RedCap, which is its number one, I think, capability. And it actually is considered a milestone by Samsung along their 5G RedCap journey.
Yeah.
So as energy saving features that will help get them to commercial viability availability, which is planned for the second half of 2024, which means that we will likely have commercial deployments of 5G RedCap coming very soon, which is exciting because the modems are already out there and It seems like from the conversations I've had, and you were present at this too at the MediaTek Summit.
Yeah.
Likely going to be the end of 24, early 25, where we start seeing RedCap, especially in IoT applications, start to take off.
I think this is pretty awesome stuff. It demonstrates Samsung's leadership with vRAN, number one. And the IoT applications are going to be quite interesting as they roll out. But what's also going to be really interesting is that given the power envelope and given the cost of these RedCap sensors, you're going to start seeing this appear in tennis shoes and in clothing. And the applications, I think, are going to be really interesting, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. I'm not sure tennis shoes is, I would go that far. Maybe
soccer balls and baseballs. And
I think those will happen with time. I think the most interesting thing will most likely be logistics. And I think also just connecting a lot of devices that couldn't, for power reasons, couldn't do it, or just it wasn't the right time, or maybe even upgrading existing 4G infrastructure. I'm excited just to see where we start to see connectivity and where we didn't have it before.
Yeah, for sure. Just given the form factor, like you said, the low power requirement. So maybe not tennis shoes, but I think we're going to see some pretty cool applications of it. Hey, my friend, it was another great week, another great podcast. You and I are both off the road for a while. Why don't you take us home?
Absolutely. We hope our viewers and listeners found this week's topics interesting. If anyone out there would like to provide insights for a specific project topic for a future podcast, please reach out to us on social media. Will is at WellFoundTech and I'm at Armchair Slob. We hope you have a great weekend, and please tune in again next week, and don't forget to rate us and subscribe.